Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my old sport, Frank.
Well, hi there.
How are you, old sport?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, old sport. I'm fine. Old sport, what are we drinking tonight?
Tonight, we are drinking a couple of cocktails befitting a couple of old sports. These are Gin Rickeys.
Ooh, very good. Yes, indeed. You made them. I'm enjoying
it. I did. Thank you. I'm glad. These are Gin Rickeys. It is a gently fizzing, summery concoction of gin, lime, and soda. And it's a jazz age cocktail that is very fitting of our topic today, which is what?
We, my dear friend, are discussing The Great Gatsby because...
The Great Gatsby. The greatest of all the Gatsbys.
Because teaching it isn't enough for me. Now I must bring it into my personal life.
This is my favorite book about a magician. I mean, The Great Gatsby was a great magician. He came out on stage and he... It sounds like it should be a magician.
In some ways.
In some ways,
he was the greatest magician of all. He convinced a ditzy person to think that she fell in love, but then failed. So maybe he's not the greatest magician
in
the world. Question for you. Is The Great Gatsby great? Yes or no?
The person
explain.
Of the book. That's an essay question.
Explain your answer.
The person
three
of the
five
book.
Sentences with citations.
I hate you. High school teacher.
3 to 5 sentences. Come on, you can do this.
You haven't answered my question. The person of the book.
The Pearson in the book?
The person or the book? Which one are you asking about? Is the person Gatsby?
I was
great?
Talking. I didn't or, hear you
I know.
Say that to me.
You were
the
teaching.
Person. The person.
Oh, no. He's a phony.
No. Yeah.
He's a phony.
Do you actually like anybody in this book?
Yeah.
Explain your reasoning.
I'm not going to do that. just because. I like Nick Carraway.
Okay.
I identify
because
with
he throws
Nick
his cares away.
Sure. I like Nick Carraway. Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
Somebody just went, oh.
I did. Yeah. I don't know if that's what Fitzgerald meant, but that was good.
That's absolutely is it what Fitzgerald
good.
Meant. Yeah.
Nothing
in this book is by accident.
I love this book. I love this book.
Mm-hmm.
I have read it maybe, and I'm physically holding my copy.
You are.
I have maybe read it more than any other novel.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, wait.
Which is not to say it's like 5 times.
I was going to say because I've read Harry Potter a bunch of times.
Yeah.
So,
I think I've read it like 5 times, which is for me. That's
a lot to read one book, though.
Mm-hmm. And it's over the last like 10 years
for a regular Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I make time for the once every 2 to 3 years.
It's time to read.
It's time to read The Great Gatsby again. In particular, in the summer, I feel like it in the summer.
Well, it's a summer book.
It is. Yeah.
You know, because it's very. You know, carefree, nothing important happens, doesn't make you reflect on life at all. It's really a good beach
just
read.
Like the I'm very contemplative, okay?
Yeah.
It's a good beach read.
Everybody's on the beach reading, like, The Girl on the Train, or, you know, Gone Girl, or The Da Vinci Code, or Beautiful Ruins, or, you know, The Notebook, or whatever, and you're
these
there.
These are not really carefree books either.
You know what I know. I don't know many carefree books. I don't read that many of them.
No, you like pain and suffering.
Apparently. I actually haven't read the majority of the books that I just mentioned. Never read Gone Girl. Never A Girl in the Train.
I haven't read any of them.
I don't remember the other ones that I
saw Gone Girl.
I saw Gone Girl.
It's a movie, but that's
I didn't. Girl on the Train looks interesting when I see that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I read The Da Vinci Code.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful Ruins I read, actually. It was very good. I do recommend. Maybe that was probably the most carefree one. It's as carefree as I get.
Okay, so let's get into it. What's your like high level, you know, review impression of this book? We talk about the movie at the end a little bit too.
I only read this book for the first time when I had to teach it.
Oh wow!
It was not
so like 5 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, about 5 years ago. Yeah,
were taught it in high school.
I was not taught it in high school for whatever reason. It was not on any curriculum my high school.
Did your high school maybe have the type of thing where like, had you had a different English teacher the same year, like you might have been taught it? Because like, I was never taught Catcher in the Rye.
I wasn't either,
yeah,
actually.
But like other kids in my class were.
Yeah, generally the way that a lot of schools work is that you have, there's, you know, the core curriculum, you know, and like there's many options on there for appropriate books at different levels and whatever else. And so some people teach Gatsby, some people don't.
Yeah.
I don't think my school didn't. I did go to a Catholic school. And so because the whole book is basically sex and adultery,
yeah,
that they probably were like, this is not appropriate. Oh, I've never really thought about it. I should ask some of my old
I went to
teachers.
A Catholic school too, and I was taught this book. Kids in my grade were taught Catcher in the Rye, which is also, you know, inappropriate.
It's fine.
For that.
Yeah. It's fine. It's fine.
So, I mean, that was never, I don't know. It's literature. But did you enjoy it? Do you enjoy it?
I enjoy it more now, 5 years later, than I did when I first read it.
Okay.
Because to me, we're just going to keep passing this book between us, I think. We're just like,
yes.
It's like the conch. It's my turn to talk. I'm going to hold
There's
the book.
There's another high school literature reference.
A book I also didn't read until I had to teach it.
See, I was
talking about one. Your school was taught good books. I don't know what I did. A Doll's House by Ibsen. Who reads that?
I don't know.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Because it's boring. Although I was taught The Hobbit.
Which I was taught that too.
Also boring.
Yes, very.
Yes, super boring.
That was summer reading.
And I'm a big Tolkien fan, but I'm the first one to tell you, The Hobbit is not a very interesting book.
I had to read The Hobbit going into freshman years. Like, I hadn't even started this new school yet, the high school yet.
Oh, yeah.
And I was reading The Hobbit. And I was like, oh, my God, this is what I have to look forward to, is boring books.
I had to read a separate piece.
Oh, I liked the separate
piece.
I was the only kid who liked the separate piece, and I reread it this past summer.
Oh, did you?
And liked it a lot more, and I liked it then. I liked it a lot
We've talked about old summer reading books before, but we should try to revisit ones that we hated.
Let's do, like, hated book club.
A hated book club. Oh, my God. Yeah. Let us do that.
Okay.
Okay, anyway. New podcast. None of us can have an hated book club.
There you go.
Every 3 months, Frank and I will come to with a book that we
hated. I had time to read a book again, so I did.
And rant about it every 3 months. I still hate it. Anyway. Because I find everybody in this book extremely unlikable. Except for Nick.
Yeah.
Because
I agree.
He's meant that way. But, like, it just bothered me how unlikable all the selfish they all were, and unlikable and dastardly and whatever else. And they were, to me, just the Kardashians in the 20s. And I just, like, I loathe you, Kardashians. You know, for no other reason than you are not contributing to society in any good and
That's
respectable
true.
Way.
That is very true. I agree with that.
Like, I'm not, like, good for you with your money and, you know, your fame and everything like that, but you're not doing anything remotely important or good with it.
Yeah.
You're just being a bunch of tools.
I agree. I mean, the Buchanans are terrible. Even Gatsby is kind of terrible.
He's
likeable,
terrible.
Charming, but terrible.
But terrible. He's a, like, a sociopathic liar
who has one
goal. Arguably, like, yeah, he's Nick's friend, but is he even really his friend? I don't think Gatsby, by the time that he, spoilers for all the great Gatsby, by the time that Gatsby dies, of old age. No, I'm just kidding. JK, the Gatsby 2.
The great old Gatsby.
Living in Michigan. You know?
What about Jordan Baker? She's less unlikable than some of the others.
She's a gossip and a liar and a cheater at golf.
And yet still more likable than Daisy and Tom Buchanan.
That's true. She actually does have one of my favorite... She has one of my favorite lines from this book is... Yeah. Now I'm going to struggle. I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to make it.
You can paraphrase it. You can paraphrase it.
Where, you know, like, I hate small parties. I hate small parties. There's no, there's no space or whatever. And I love large parties. They're so intimate.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. I love large parties. They're so intimate. Yes.
Yeah. I hate, you know, there's no whatever. I can't remember the.
I know the line you're talking about.
But I love that. That's a great line. It's she'd be an excellent spy. You know, never meet in a place that's not busy when you're a spy. Yes. Meet in a very busy place.
Right.
You know, classic Mission Impossible rule.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, and she is the scariest woman Nick has ever seen,
yes.
as I recall.
Yes.
And but she kind of floats in and out of the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I don't like Tom Buchanan.
Yeah.
But I admire his directness at things in its own way. Like,
okay.
you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
like certainly he is not. He is not a good person
mm-hmm.
by any stretch of the imagination.
No, he's terrible.
Yeah, you know, everyone should read. Oh, what is it? The Can I see the book? Can I see your book?
Yeah. I know what you're. Yeah,
talk while I find.
Yeah, so they're in that scene where they're like in the hotel, and they're which is actually when they were drinking the gin rickeys, and it's like this very awkward encounter where like Tom like sort of forces them all to hang out. It's right before the car accident happens, right? This awful encounter where they're just Tom is being forcibly social on everybody, and Gatsby like just wants to love Daisy, and she hates her husband, so she wants to love Gatsby, and Tom is in the middle of trying to be like, I don't know, I don't even know what. But yeah, I know the scene you're talking about. It might be hard to find the quote right now, but you could use your one lookup.
No, I found it.
Oh, great.
The Rise of the Coed Empires. You know, well, it's a fine book, and everybody ought to read it. You know, blah, blah, blah. Well, these books are very scientific, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Tom's getting very profound. He reads deep books with long words in them, you know.
Daisy in a nutshell, Daisy right there.
Daisy in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But there's something about Tom's, I think, presence that I admire, not any of his actions or certainly his thoughts or opinions about things, but I think he commands a room in a way
yeah.
that very few people are capable of.
True, but it's like he's, you're right. Yeah, that's true, yes. And that is like, that's something, he's a compelling character,
he's a
right?
Yeah, compelling.
Compelling.
Yeah.
Even though he's talking about eugenics, he's a compelling character.
Yeah.
Yes, I totally agree.
I'm attracted
agree with that.
To compelling characters, not necessarily because I agree
not good
with them,
or bad, but yeah.
But we talked previously a couple of weeks ago about how I'm always more of a villain guy
yeah,
than a
yeah,
hero
yeah,
guy,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I like this. Gatsby is no exception. Where Tom is, they're kind of all their worst enemies. I wouldn't, you know, maybe the Jazz
sure.
Age is their villain, mm-hmm, is the mm-hmm. overarching villain of this story,
mm.
sir. But Tom is, you know, you can pin your finger on Tom because
sure.
without his crappy actions, maybe nobody else's,
yeah.
you know,
yeah, yeah,
crappy
yeah.
actions happen.
Yeah.
In its own right. So, yeah. So we'll go back to Daisy. You said Daisy in a nutshell, Tom's very profound lately. You know, he reads big books with long words in them.
Yes.
You know,
she is compelling in her own way because she's this beautiful woman, this captivating woman. Like, everyone agrees that she's beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nick is her cousin, and even he's like, she was really pretty.
She's really pretty. Maybe he does love me.
right.
No, he doesn't, Daisy.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Stop being fooled yourself.
She's pretty, but she's
with your
stupid.
Instagram and your, yeah.
That's, she would totally be like Instagram generation.
Nick's a wordsmith, so he'd
mm-hmm,
have Facebook.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tom doesn't have time for anything else but Twitter because it's only 140 characters.
There you go.
And he has deep thoughts, but doesn't have a lot of time to say them.
He'd probably be tweeting about like sports, though. He'd probably be like following like all the Barstool sports.
The polo
guys.
Match.
Yeah.
Daisy would have Instagram. You know, it'd be yep. like, look at this fork. It's so shiny. This yeah. silver fork is so shiny. A
selfie of her with the fork.
I could see myself in this fork. And Gatsby would have Tumblr, and he would write sad poetry about things,
just yearning,
but about gifts of people crying.
Yes,
all the time. Just I'm sad today. Oh, look, the waves of the water are like my beating heart for Daisy. I'm sad, but not Daisy. This post isn't about anybody. Ignore that Daisy thing.
Nope.
I don't know how to delete because it's the 1920s. I have this technology for the future.
Do they have whiteout?
Yeah.
Yet? So yeah. That's such a good assessment. I like that. they're all, you're kind of right. They're kind of all their own worst enemies.
Mm-hmm.
They have the best and worst traits, all of them. I, like I said, I identify with Nick in a way.
Certainly.
Nick in the...
You do work for Wall Street.
Sure.
Yeah.
I work for Wall Street. No, but it's his, especially when I was a teenager reading this for the first time.
Working in a Wall Street.
Sorry. Prodigy. It was a Wall Street prodigy. His view of New York City, right? Yeah. And like I was born near New York.
New Yorker.
Yeah. I was a New Yorker, born and raised. But the way that he views New York
is where you spent most of your days.
It was where I spent a lot of my days in my
growing up in your neighborhood.
No, but in my... When I was my early working days,
yep.
I was there every single day for years. And the way that he looks at New York and the way that he marvels at it mm-hmm. and the way he describes it. And it's kind of more in the beginning of the book where he's talking, you know, he's first coming to New York.
Right.
And,
well, yeah, because he's from out of town.
Yeah. 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 From the Midwest, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. The way he describes it is kind of the way that I still in some ways see New York, this idealistic, shiny view of New York.
And
by the
poop.
End of yep. the continue. Yeah. By the end of the book.
Yeah.
He has soured.
Screw this
it.
Place.
Yeah. But this at the beginning, there's all this hustle and bustle, and everything is like, ooh, it's all the busy people doing exciting, interesting things.
It's his honeymoon stage.
He's in his honeymoon stage
and slowly enters out and goes, oh. Because he's looking for adventure.
Yes.
He's part of the war. He's World War I.
Yes.
And he's looking for the great wide adventure of the world, you know, mm-hmm. and so I mm-hmm. want to be the great American writer, but I'm going to learn about bonds,
yes,
and
yes.
you know, and the war was very exciting, and now I'm onto this new exciting place in this concrete jungle,
mm-hmm.
You know, of ecstasy and fun, but he's still kind of, you know, proper,
yes,
you know,
yes, he had a proper upbringing, mm-hmm. right? So I relate with that on some level. I wouldn't say relate, but I appreciate, and maybe because I am kind of a romantic when it comes to these type of things, I appreciate Gatsby's...
talk about drive. Yeah.
Drive. Yeah, drive. Tom. Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah, like his like, okay, I'm going to get the girl. I'm going to buy the house across the bay from hers.
Yeah.
And I'm going to like look out across the bay every night and
so emo
and so emo, right?
It's wealthy.
That's
emo.
That's why I can't relate to it because I'm not emo, but I appreciate it from a literature standpoint. From
like
beautiful imagery, if nothing else, of just this guy yearning for the love of his life and chasing her his entire life to the point where he changes his identity. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. But, okay. Yes, you're right. It is about 5 years. Yes,
but he was chasing the great dream.
Yes.
The great part.
He wasn't really chasing Daisy.
No.
So much as this image he had of her, this idealized, romanticized, fictionalized version of
like
her.
Like being wealthy and famous. It's that which is why he's so not great.
Yep. And so he decided that he needed to be the richest, the best, have the biggest, have the most of everything, have every kind of shirt. I have every kind of shirt. I have all the books.
I have all the shirts and books.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have book shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But literally, those are like
shirts made of books.
His status symbols are shirts and books.
Yeah.
Those are his ideas of
unopened books.
Unopened books. Mm-hmm. Unworn shirts.
These books are unopened, said the owl-eyed man.
Exactly.
What? Who? What?
Yeah. I think of that too. Archimedes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, and then like, when he's showing her, like, look how many shirts I have. Like, that's his idea of, like, I grew up, like, in the Midwest, and I was kind of poor, but now I'm rich, and my idea is that rich people have lots of shirts. So, look, now I have lots of shirts, Daisy.
Yeah, it's so true. But rich people have lots of shirts. I should get a lot of shirts.
It's a little boy's idea of what rich people are.
Rich people have hydroplanes. I should also have a hydroplane.
Right.
I'll take my new hydroplane out in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know, you should come. Guess what? We never went out on the hydroplane. Does that bother you? Gatsby's not a man of his word.
No, it doesn't bother me. It fits.
It bothers me because I don't like people who are not people of their word.
It's not so much not being a man of his word. I didn't really think about it that way.
If someone was like, you want to go up my plane, the next day they show up in their car and they're like, let's go to town. And
it's true. But it's more to me, it's less about, I think he forgot about it. It's like he's flighty.
Like a hydroplane.
yeah. I think, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's less about...
Jin Ricky's good for conversation.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I think it's less about him intentionally being a jerk and you know, and not keeping his word, in that instance anyway, and more about being flighty and being like, let's do this and let's do that. And he's sort of an adventurous soul.
Mm. Right.
And that's kind of what you get, is he forgot that he talked about the hydroplane. And that's how I read that, but I can see how that would, if that was a real person, I would absolutely be like annoyed. Like, he always says we're going to do cool stuff, and then we don't.
We never do stuff. He's just like, every time he comes over, he's like, let's do cool stuff and watch TV and play on my organ or whatever. And we just sit there, and he just sits there and cries and looks at his shirts.
And then we just, yeah. Look at his shirts. We drive through the Valley of Ashes.
Yeah. His soul.
Yeah. Dr. Ecclesburg.
There's no S in there. Eckelberg.
Eckelberg, sorry.
It's okay. God.
It's been about 3 years.
Fitzgerald
already.
Just dusted over
it's
in his
Fitzgerald,
coffin.
Actually. There's no...
This?
Sorry. And you're looking just to be
It's a Z,
sure.
You bastard. Now,
I was kidding. It's
myself.
Like Eckelberg. I didn't fit.
Well, I was confused weeks ago about whether it was Mon Mothma or Mon Mothra. So
it's Mon Mothma.
Maybe it's Scott Fitzgerald.
No,
it's maybe it's Ernestine Hemingway. Ernestine Heming. You know,
Ernestine.
Like,
what?
Ernestine. Ooh, so whatever. So speaking of driving, though,
yes,
Gatsby's car. I don't know if Fitzgerald meant this or way. So Gatsby's color plays a big part in this in
the green
book.
Light across the bay.
The green light across the bay. Yeah. But I've always taken Gatsby's yellow car as to be, you know, like just the Rolls Royce. And at first it's like, you know, it's so, you know,
like luxurious. Like what are you
it's luxurious.
At?
It's a speedster. It's like all these fun things with like yellow, zoom, zoom, whatever. But yellow is typically fear, right? So at his heart, Gatsby is a coward who is driving fast. He's a reckless driver. He's driving away from his past as quickly as possible in his fear-mongered car. Is that right?
I hadn't given it quite that much thought. I thought of it, I thought yellow like gold. I thought yellow like gold. I thought yellow like, again, he wants the best of the best. He wants like, but sort of mindlessly the best of the best. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not like, I'm handpicking the best. No, give me all of them. Yeah, I'll just take all of them. I'm rich. I can afford this. So he's like, give me the gold car. You know, like, that's sort of how I perceived it. But I like your analysis as well. I think that's good. You know, yellow being a fear thing.
Yeah, yellow bellied coward.
Right. I don't usually give that very much thought. I if anything, I think of, you know, Yellow Lanterns from, you know, Sinestro Corps from DC Comics.
And they harness the power of?
Of, well, yeah, fear. No, that's what I mean.
Yellow belly cowards. I understand. I thought you were trying to make a different, like, I thought you would be like, well, I don't think of fear. I think of Sinestro Corps.
Oh, no, sorry.
And
no.
I was like,
I was saying,
but.
The only time that I associate yellow with fear is there. Mm-hmm. I don't, for some reason, I'm not able to, outside of comedy. You're right, yellow belly, that's totally a phrase that was used for decades.
Yeah, yellow son of a nutcracker.
Yeah, yeah.
As, you know, as I quoted every Clint Eastwood movie
exactly,
ever.
Exactly, yeah.
Yellow son of a nutcracker.
That's definitely a thing they said.
Mm-hmm. That is a thing that has been said by many, many cowboys. Many, many cowboys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This book. It's not a long book.
No, it's not. Either. That's part of the reason why I don't, when I feel the urge to read it, I don't feel resistance against reading it because it's pretty easy to get through.
Oh yeah, super. You know? What's your favorite part of the book, just generally speaking?
My favorite part is it probably is that scene we keep coming back to, that awfully uncomfortable scene
in the hotel room. It's my favorite scene too. Yeah, it's awfully hot up here.
It's kind
Let's
of
go
the
to town.
It's one of like the climaxes of the whole, like, you know, it's sort of where things
to that
come to a head.
Crescendo.
Yeah.
The heat builds. The tension builds. Yes. It's also very eloquently well done. And you can read the story and be like, well, they're very angry in a hotel room.
Yes.
But, like, they are in the hustle and bustle of a city, which makes you anxious. In one of the hottest days of the year, which makes you angry. On top of the tower. So it's like everything is elevated, right? The noise, the sound, the heat, even how high they are is elevated. Mm-hmm. So they are at the absolute mountain peak of anger and frustration and love and whatever else. And it's so important to Gatsby that Daisy meant she never loved Tom.
Yes.
Which is where I think Gatsby really crumbles.
Oh, yes.
Because
he gets greedy.
Yeah.
He goes a little too far.
Yeah. You know, because having an adulterous relationship with a married woman isn't
enough for him.
It's not enough.
It's not enough. He needs to know that she never loved, like, that she always loved him, that she never loved Tom, she never loved her husband, and that he won the whole time. He needs that full victory. He needs all of it. Like,
yeah.
In his mind, if she never loved Tom, it's like she was never with Tom, and then it's fine.
Right.
And then it's fine. And that's what I can appreciate this, like, madness. Mm-hmm. Like this kind of madness, this neediness.
We've all had crushes that have been a little too strong.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
But usually they happened when we were like,
but that's
kids.
He's like stuck in this like weird adolescent stage.
Yeah. Exactly. He never outgrew that stage.
Yeah. Which really none of them truly, really.
They're all pretty juvenile.
Oh yeah.
They're all pretty juvenile, right?
They are in Nick's words, careless people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Buchanans are careless people.
They are careless people. They are children in grown-ups' clothing, mm-hmm. you know, and they are carrying on like adults, but they are not responsible enough to, or they're not mature enough to handle the responsibility of adulthood. Right.
Who's the real victim in this book, do you think?
Oh, man. Gatsby's dad.
Well, that's not the answer I thought you were going to give, but that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, Gatsby's dad.
Gatsby's dad.
The poor guy.
I know.
It's like stab me in the heart and then twist the knife.
I know. A part that was omitted from the film that...
Travesty.
I like the film quite a bit.
Yes, travesty that it was...
But I think that's one of the... That's the thing that I go, now, isn't that funny? What was the point of cutting it out? Pacing?
What is the point of the story, almost, if that's not there?
Mm.
You kind of...
Explain.
So, Gatsby's dad, after Gatsby dies, and no one comes to the funeral.
Mm-hmm. Nick's sending out Facebook posts. Hey, my friend died. You guys want to come to the funeral?
Yeah, he's sending out Facebook invites.
Sad and stuff.
And
everyone responded back with an interested.
Mm-hmm. Interested.
Interested.
Maybe. They're all running maybe.
Oh, no, I can't. I have a thing that day. Oh, no, so sad.
The one guy's like, can you send me my stuff?
Yeah.
Can you burn in hell? But then his dad comes, Mr. Gatz,
mm-hmm.
and talks James about, Gatz. Yeah, Jimmy did this and Jimmy did that. And here's Jimmy's favorite childhood book and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's the victim there, and he's sort of the emotional center, even though it happens all the way to the very, very end of the book, like in the last like five pages.
Right.
He's sort of the emotional, it kind of gives you you find out who Gatsby really was then. And you kind of get
fully
you get some of his motivation, you know, about him being during the war, before the war. Going off to war and dating Daisy and all that. And you get that. And you're like, all right, so here was a guy who was in love with a girl and tries to win her back. I get it. I feel very, with our glass, our ice clinking, I feel very, very just in it right now.
I know, me too.
Yes.
The ice ball actually keeps hitting my nose. It's kind of weird.
But then this guy shows up, and the emotion in his few pages... The emotion that is felt there, at least for me, it just like eviscerates me, and mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my god, this is what he was all about. Mm-hmm. This is who he was. This is the person that he was from when he was a little boy to now. He never really grew past that boyhood that is described.
Right.
Like there's that thing where his dad, one of the things he brings, or wherever they find it, I don't remember his dad brings it, or they find it there, is like his journal from when he was a kid. And he's mm-hmm. like, 6 a.m., get up, like, you know, 6:15, do like all the different things he was doing. He was like a self-made man to begin with. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to teach myself how to do this and that, and I'm going to teach myself these skills and this discipline, self-imposed discipline from when he was a little kid, that kind of leads to who he is today, where he's like, okay, when he's an adult, comes back from the war, realizes he doesn't have Daisy anymore, he's like, okay, I'm going to get rich now.
Yeah,
well, I'm going to buy all the shirts. It's the same characteristics carry through.
He is that guy that when life doesn't go exactly as he thinks it's going to go. You know, people who, I mean, we're older than this now, but when we were in our early 20s or even mid 20s, you know, you hear like, you have friends who are like, oh, I thought I'd be married by now.
Sure,
and you know,
sure,
like,
sure.
And then their whole life to them is now feels incomplete because it didn't go according to the plan that they had set for themselves at 11, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. or whatever. But they've never reconciled that within terms of themselves and move forward in their mm-hmm. in their life. Mm-hmm. And they're like, my life is over now because I'm not married at 24, sure. you know, expecting my first child, exactly like my mother.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's Gatsby.
Control. He needs control.
Ultimate control. And so, but that way, he's exactly like Tom.
Yeah, yes.
That's...
Yes, yeah. But in a more peaceful way?
Arguably more peaceful. You know, in a weirder way.
More bashful
in
way,
In a
maybe?
Passive way, yeah, in some yeah, ways. Yeah. You know, like, no, Daisy, you tell him that you never loved him. You know, I'm not going to confront, I'm not going
to... I'm not going to fight this guy, but I need you yeah, to tell him that you yeah, never loved exactly. him, and then it's all good.
But Tom is the guy that's going to show up to his house with a bunch of his friends to be like, so, Mr. Gatsby.
Yeah, you sleeping with my wife? What's going on here?
Yeah, yeah. Right. So, they are those people that either could be best friends or worst enemies, and they are, in fact, worst enemies based off their goals. But, you know, I think they're more similar than either of them want to admit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
That's, yeah, I completely agree with
that. So Gatsby's really, I mean, Nick's really the only person that actually grows and does anything out of this yes. world.
And he grows from watching these terrible people. These careless people
to not from not judging them to purposely, you know, I will not. My father said, do not judge people, you know, paraphrasing again, but mm-hmm. I will not judge you, you know, blah, 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 to his definitive statement of you're worth more than the damn bunch put together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have fully judged all of you.
Yes.
And Gatsby is better than all of them.
Yes.
They are a bunch of terrible people. And Nick has said so. Nick, in his own way, is unreliable that way because it's Nick's word against everybody else's.
Right. You know, yeah, he's a biased.
Nick is a biased
party.
Narrator.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, as all real first person narrators mm-hmm. are, they mm-hmm. are in many ways biased. So, you know, arguably, you know, R2-D2 is the, you know, the author of Star Wars, and
that's
he,
right.
he
yeah.
is very biased.
That was recently George Lucas said, like, oh, yeah, my idea was that he was telling this to
the Book of the Wills.
Book of the Wills.
Yeah.
Like 100 years later.
Mm hmm.
And so
R2-D2 saves every major character,
right.
and, you know, looks great and is real fun and sassy, and C-3PO looks like a tool.
And he's so smart because he even yeah. throws in, like, oh, yeah, and then this one time I, like, plugged into a power socket instead of a computer terminal, like, because I'm totally relatable.
Yeah, because yeah,
you know, like,
I make mistakes too, yeah. but also I recognized that, you know,
the hyperdrive was working,
and, you know, I fixed it in, like, a second,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
They spent the whole movie trying to fix it, and then I just swooped in. So, like, you know, I'm kind of awesome.
Yeah, he's kind of awesome. Yeah. Any final thoughts on The Great Gatsby?
The movie left me a little underwhelmed overall. I alluded to that. I wish that the Mr. Gats scene was in there, but Baz Luhrmann is an acquired taste.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think I kind of wanted a more faithful adaptation. I liked the visuals. I liked the craziness of mm-hmm. Baz Luhrmann. I like his movies in general. Didn't feel Jay-Z was the right choice for the soundtrack, just in terms of
yeah.
I get what they were going for with sort of like the baller, like what's a present day mm-hmm. equivalent of a jazz age
right
party
yeah, or it's, a Gatsby party anyway.
That's the equivalent. I get that, but I would have liked a more it's Baz Luhrmann, so you're gonna get that, but I would have liked something that fit the era a little more.
I've seen this movie probably more times than I should, considering it's The Great Gatsby.
Because you're teaching it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I only saw it the one time.
Yeah, I see it quite a bit every year. And sometimes I watch it on my own because I like it. I think it's a very faithful adaptation of the core of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I'd agree with that, yeah.
Even the way that, you know, they use his writing that scrawls across the screen.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
There's a lot of really cool, neat visuals.
That's very Moulin Rouge, too.
Extremely. It's very Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah.
I discover every time I watch it, there's tons of jazz in that movie.
Yeah.
But it's all the underscore
yes.
of the film.
Yes.
Almost exclusively. So, like, when you think there would be this big jazz number, mm-hmm. that's when the modern pop music comes into play.
Yeah.
But a lot of those songs also get jazz arrangements as underscores.
Right.
So it all really does play very well together. So I actually don't dislike that.
Okay.
I think it's going to, eventually it's going to feel dated.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too.
Yeah, but I get its point. And I think it actually does make its point.
Yeah.
I don't think it's not just about getting it, but I think it does serve it well. But if you go back and really do, there's a lot of jazz in that movie.
Yeah, I remember there being more than I expected because, like,
a lot of the reviews were very down on, like, where's the jazz?
Yeah, and just, like, people constantly don't know the difference between a score and a soundtrack.
Yes, that's
true. They're like, oh, Jay-Z's scoring the movie. And I'm like, is he scoring it, the movie? Or is the soundtrack... songs inspired by and from the, you know, like that kind of thing.
Well, that's a whole conversation for a different day.
That's true. That's true.
Which I,
but anyway,
yeah. So,
but anyway, yeah, it's my, probably my favorite novel. So cliche to say that, but it really, it's because of the New York stuff, because of the characters that I can kind of get on board with. It's something that I like to read a lot. And it's been about 3 years since the last time I read it, and probably means it's about time for me to read it again.
Well, it's funny when you say, like, it's cliche to say that, but I'm like, but great novels, great works of literature are great because they are lasting favorites.
Yeah, it's true.
So, because they resonate within a lot of people for a very particular reason. So, I don't think it's cliche to say that it's your favorite. I think when it's one of, like, if you were, like, what's one of the only three books that you ever read? So, people are like, Mice and Men is my favorite book because, you know, it's the only one I read in high school or whatever, then, you know, or ever. Then, yeah, that's, you know, read a book. But I think that, but all of those books are, can also be, certainly be your favorite if you're a well-read person. You've read enough to dictate what is your favorite and what is not. And so, also your favorite book you are actually rereading as opposed to, this is my favorite book. When was the last time you read it? Oh, I read it once.
Yeah.
And never again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I keep coming back to it and I keep finding things that I didn't.
Yeah, your favorite song, do you only listen to that once too? Yeah,
you know. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good point. Yeah. Favorite movie, only listen to once too?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's,
Rhapsody in Blue is my favorite song because I heard it one time on Pandora and it was 15 minutes, so I've never gone back to listen to it ever again.
If somebody actually tells me Rhapsody in Blue is their favorite song, I'm going to sit down and talk to them for a long time.
I know.
That'd be like a friend.
Yeah, it'd be like, so, tell me, like, how did you come to Gershwin?
Yeah.
And they're like,
I saw Fantasia 2000.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yep. So you can find us at Twitter, Facebook, and Gmail at Beer with Geeks. Mm-hmm. You can write us, review us on iTunes, Overcast, Satchel, Google Play Store, all the fun places.
Yeah.
iTunes, I think I said that. Doesn't matter.
It's about covers.
Yeah, it does. And so thank you for this, Gin Ricky.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for this insightful and fun conversation to The Great Gatsby.
Well, you know, as I always like to say, to me, you know, we beat on boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the past.
Listeners, you can't see the face that I'm making right now, but I assure you, but it's one of bemusement and a slight exasperation. So that I say cheers.
Cheers.